and welcome to this, the final podcast of 2020. Inevitably, we'll be looking back, but we'll also be looking forward with three of those at the heart of the MCA's work.
But we really have to keep the pressure on that seafarers are recognised throughout the world, not just in the UK or in a small pocket of countries, that they are seen as key workers.
I think we've shown the outside world just how well the agency can work and also how well the UK can work.
It's absolutely true. Regardless of what's been happening with that pandemic, we have continued to do our core business and help those that need us most.
Welcome then to the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency podcast. Undoubtedly, in years to come, one question will come back and back. Where were you when you first heard about this thing called COVID-19? Katie Ware, Director of Maritime Services, Brian Johnson, Chief Executive, and Claire Hughes, Director of Her Majesty's Coast Guard, have all been looking back at the year that was 2020.
I will never forget. I came running in the lobby of a hotel in the Falkland Islands when we'd only just literally landed from the UK for the Red Ensign Group conference, and I walked through my hotel bedroom door to get a frantic phone call from colleagues back in the UK to say that we had the outbreak on the Diamond Princess. So that really was when it all started for us.
I'd been visiting one of our prospective customers near London and came out of what had been a really productive meeting, and spoke to Claire Hughes, who was organising a big conference of all the Coast Guards. And I remember Claire and I both saying, well, do we really feel this is appropriate?
I distinctly remember it was Tuesday, the 3rd of March, and I was driving to Hinckley, where we were going to have our Coast Guard conference. And I had this real sense of dread and unease about essentially bringing a huge proportion of our national network, plus other stakeholders such as the RNLI and Bristow, together in one room for 3 days. And Brian's correct. I phoned him and said, I'm really nervous about this. This instinctively feels the wrong thing to do.
Just realizing we were at a point where we could no longer get big groups of people together. And then, of course, 2 or 3 days later, full lockdown.
When I got to Hinckley, we made the call to cancel it and stop people travelling. And then, of course, literally within 5 minutes of doing that, as HM Coast Guard would, we went straight into response mode.
At that time, the Diamond Princess was at the other side of the world. She was in Japan. You know, we knew there was cases breaking out in Europe. But I guess from February onwards, the realisation came that something big was about to happen.
For a moment, it was as if the world stood still. For the MCA and its frontline emergency service, HM Coast Guard, that could only be for a moment. Brian, Claire and Katie all knew safety of life at sea couldn't be halted.
We had to rethink how we operated the Coast Guard. We had absolutely to preserve the fourth emergency service and make sure that we had people on watch, we had helicopters flying, that we had the right connections with key partners running the lifeboats, including the RNLI, that our coastal rescue teams were helping to deliver aid in the community. So we redirected really all of our thinking and all of our activity to operating in this COVID crisis in the Coast Guard.
When I think about this year, Heather, with COVID, with a pandemic, you know, we've assisted over 30,000 people this year. And we've rescued 12,000 people who made it home safely to their families. And for me as a service, I am just truly thankful to have such dedicated volunteers and staff that clearly continually overcome the most challenging of situations and continue to help those in need.
On the shipping side, there was a myriad of things that had to be done. Should passengers stay in cars on ferries? How do we get seafarers returned back to their countries and not kept at sea for years on end?
shipping is critical, even more, and the best of times, even more so during the COVID pandemic. We are still a flag state and a port state, and we still had to work and find new ways and think out of the box of how we were going to keep our ships safe. I know it's a huge frustration to the surveyors, but we can't travel internationally. So therefore, we've had to delegate out to the class societies to do those surveys locally on our behalf. But also, it was simple things like the certificates may expire. You know, they're allowed to be extended beyond the 3 months. But really, we knew that this was going to be in for the long haul. They may need to be extended even further than the 3 months. So we worked really closely with the class societies on guidance of how we could keep the shipping moving, but absolutely above all, make sure that the vessels were safe to operate. And that guidance that we developed with IACS, the International Association of Class Societies, is held up by the IMO as how to do that best custom and practice. So again, another example of where we've led the way. But also, once we started coming easing out of the lockdown, we knew we had to start doing port state control. And one of the real key drivers for us doing port state control, Heather, is there's an awful lot of seafarers out there who have been at sea for far too long, well over their 12 months. And the risk that comes with that, not just only to their welfare, accidents will start to happen and things will slip as people are exhausted. So we really did need to get back out and do port state control. But again, we have to do that on a risk-based approach. If we received complaints, especially around seafarers' welfare, then we would risk assess it and attend that vessel, just like we did with our cruise ships in Tilbury.
And I have to say, the MCA really showed its capabilities. I mean, we worked incredibly effectively with colleagues at Department of Transport and showed the world how well the UK responds in these situations, showed the shipping sector our real in-depth capabilities, and I think did an extraordinarily good job. On top of all of that, set ourselves a really bold improvement plan as an agency. You know, the elements of that included things like ratcheting up customer service, digitising a number of our services, digitising part of our seafarer examinations, dealing with some work processes that weren't as effective as they might be, starting to build some real innovation capability in the organisation. And I have to say, when I look back at it, we absolutely exceeded all of my expectations on delivering what we thought at the time were very, very ambitious plans. So although it's been a really hard year, I feel very, very pleased with the way that the agency has responded to it. I think we've shown the outside world just how well the agency can work and also how well the UK can work.
And then, of course, there are some other factors that, again, I have to mention. Hugely proud of the emergency rescue air, land and sea documentary. I think every time I watched that and tuned in, I just felt this huge sense of pride. And mostly because I think it's only right and proper that the amazing work that our volunteer teams do, Bristow's, the RNLI, and of course our operations room staff really got some airtime and real credit for what they do. So that's been a huge highlight, I think, for all of us in the service. Another one would be the grounding of the Cammy. So that happened just as we went into national lockdown, and that lasted 43 days. And it was the first time that a government coordinated response to an incident of that magnitude was managed entirely remotely. And again, testament to the real skill and professionalism of our people. It's absolutely true. Regardless of what's been happening with that pandemic, we have continued to do our core business and help those that need us most.
If 2020 is remembered for anything other than just COVID-19, could it be the year that a marker for the vital role that seafarers play has been put down? For Brian and Katie, it's an emphatic yes.
I think, you know, particularly in the UK, but I think it's true in other countries as well, the shipping sector is slightly invisible to the vast majority of the population. And I think suddenly it became very visible. Everyone felt just a little bit vulnerable. And it was shipping that played a big role in keeping the show on the road. And suddenly there was a realization of all these hundreds of thousands of seafarers out there who spent months and months at sea and were essentially stuck on their ships. And I have to say, the efforts the UK made, and we and colleagues in government made, to relieve that situation, I don't think we're matched in any other nation. And I just hope there's a bit of a residue of consciousness in the general public about what an extraordinary job seafarers do in keeping world trade going.
Seafarers are non-negotiable. They're an essential part of our lives. You know, the public needs to be aware of exactly what it is seafarers do. 1st of December, this is phenomenal. The United Nations General Assembly agreed unanimously on a resolution calling out for all countries to recognise seafarers as key workers. And I've actually just been on a call with the ASEAN states, that who are the key providers of the majority of seafarers, you know, and how are we going to drive this forward? It's okay, the UN signing a resolution, but we really have to keep the pressure on that seafarers are recognised throughout the world, not just in the UK or in a small pocket of countries, that they are seen as key workers.
Uncertainty still plays a big part in the everyday life of the UK and, of course, across the world. How are all three, Claire, Katie and Brian, feeling about 2021?
This year in HM Coast Guard, we've had a year of building our foundations. So really investing in that leadership, looking at our training and how we do that and how we will do that in the future, and many, many other things that we've achieved in terms of growth. I do think next year for us is, it's not about standing still. It's about consolidating those changes and building upon them so that we flourish. So our leadership flourishes, so that our training offer becomes the best training offer that we've ever had, thinking about how we can digitise, thinking about multimedia. But one of the other things that's particularly exciting me is the work that we're doing to digitally transform the Coast Guard Rescue Service. And for me, to see the Coast Guard Rescue Service have access to iPads, be part of drone trials to aid with search, to digitise some of those real cumbersome transactional processes that takes them away from the front line. With all that changing, that will be a huge, huge achievement. And then, of course, the other modernisation that we're doing with, for example, search planning, and looking at the future modelling of search planning and what exciting opportunities that can bring. Working more with the RNLI, we've really cemented that relationship this year, and there's lots to be done in the space of preventative work, beach safety. So there's a huge amount that I think is building upon this year without standing still. And as Brian said, we haven't yet published our strategic plan. But again, that will be for me an exciting opportunity to continue to drive and flourish HM Coast Guard.
Keep doing what they're doing. You know, we've achieved an enormous amount in 2020 beyond anything that I could have hoped or wished for. People have really set themselves high benchmarks. The teams have worked together phenomenally. I think the team spirit has been amazing, and I hope that that continues through into 2021. I don't imagine that we will be returning back to normal anytime soon. We just have to keep pushing through. And really, my hope is that everybody can keep working together, we can keep achieving what we've set out to do, that we continue to lead the way through this crisis, and really just that the teams embrace the different way of working that we have now, the pace that we work at, and keep pushing through.
I think as we go into 2021, there are some elements which are unknown and uncertain. But having said that, there are some very, very fixed and predictable things. You know, the UK is going to want its economy to pick up again. The world's going to have to continue to decarbonize and deal with global warming. World trade is going to have to continue. And there are going to have to continue to be people kept safe and rescued around our coastline. So there are massive chunks of what the MCA does, where it's very clear what we both need to continue and what we need to do more of. all of the work that's going on to make the Coast Guard the best at what it does in the world will continue and will continue at some pace. Our team that we put together that I described earlier on innovation, on technical innovation, particularly aimed at decarbonisation, that work will absolutely continue at a pace. And you will hear the MCA and the UK flag having a stronger and stronger voice in the international community as a thought leader on the subject. And that's the capability that we've put in place this year. We'll see some steps taken to grow the UK flag. It's a flag of real substance with huge technical expertise underneath it. And as we've demonstrated over this year, the capability to make things really happen in times of crisis. And we think that's an outstanding offer for the shipping industry. So actually, I think there's an awful lot of what the MCA does over 2021, which is absolutely predictable just now. There are some bits that we just don't know about yet, but we've got a really busy year ahead of us. But I do believe by the end of that year, we will have grown yet more in our capability and our ability to service shipping customers around the world.
Hope for the future and a lot learned from the past 12 months. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We'll be back next year. You've been listening to the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency podcast. It was produced and presented by Heather Scull.